You can kind of just give your name, age, where we are.
Just like I'm telling you a story. Okay, got it.
Exactly.
My name is Iwanda Wendila. I am 47 years old. Well, I'll be 47 tomorrow. I'm a single mom of five. I grew up in Detroit. I grew up on the west side of Detroit with my mom and dad, kind of like a love child, 70s baby. And, I was a 70s baby. My dad eventually moved to Chicago and became a politician. So I'm kind of an activist type of person with a cultural background. I was raised African-centered. So when I was young, I was just one of those girls, kind of quote, in the hood or in the community that wanted to do better by my community. So I believed in each one teach one and each one reach one. So I would say at about maybe 9 years old, I started doing braids and beads and selling lemonade in the community. And I started gaining a hair clientele. So by 14, I was doing hair at a salon, doing braids. And by 18, I decided to open up my own salon. And I've been running my own business for 30 years. I've never had a job. I've always done hair from, you know, my hands. Happy to be Nappy for me is more than a salon. It's a community center. It's an Afrocentric gift shop. I have 10 stylists, and each one of my stylists has somewhat of a backstory. Either they were people that were underprivileged or kind of had some negative things going on in their life or maybe had some setbacks. Some of my stylists here were homeless at one point. They would come to my salon and clean and help, and I eventually trained them and gave them a job. So I always was just the type of person that beat the stereotypes. So each one of the stylists here, for instance, have been with me at least 10 years plus because we're more like a family salon. And I believe, like, especially being on the avenue of fashion, that when whether you're a grandmother, a cousin, an uncle, or a niece or a nephew, you're going to see somebody like you when you come into Happy to be Nappy. So one of my models when I first started was positive social imagery, be a positive social image. I was definitely one of those young ladies that came from, like, the drugs and the street crime and all the negative things that comes with growing up in Detroit, but I don't use it as a stigma. I did have my children young because I was the only child, and I kind of was one of them people, just was kind of like a lonely artist. So I had my kids, and I was kind of raised cultural, so like Muslim and African understanding. It's just like family-centered, we the people, the village community. So even though I had my kids, I never let that set me back. I always did hair, and I took my money and reinvested in myself. I was really big on reinvesting in myself, and that was one of the examples of showing about being a positive social image. I didn't take my money and run to Somerset and get a Gucci bag and all that. Instead, I went to school. I took my money when my kids were younger, and I would go to film school. I went to film school because doing hair, I started meeting celebrities and artists and stuff that wanted me to do their hair, and I would ask them, how did they get where they were? And once they told me, you know, they did this class and that class, I wanted to be like them. So I would go to the same schools that they would go to. Like, for instance, David Talbert. He has the movie Almost Sunday, Almost Christmas, Baggage Claim. But he was from Detroit maybe about 15 years ago, and he said he was going to be famous, yada, yada. And he eventually became that. And he reached back for me, and I started working with him in Hollywood. But I started going to film school that he went to, and teachers and things like that, BET Awards, Grammys. I would take my money and go and be around the stars so I can have creative visualization. So at one point when I opened up the store, I used to be a bookstore. We had the incense, the candles, the oils, the books, self-help books, self-motivational books, how to eat to live and things like that. I'm bringing that back. I had that for many years, but as my kids got older and everybody's doing great, daughter's in college, full ride at Howard, I kind of got older, so I kind of kicked back with the store part. But now that I'm older and the store is pretty settled, and with the help of Prosperus and Goldman Sachs, I have the ability and the strength and the energy to bring the store back, meaning the incense, the oils, the books. I feel that our community needs that. It's too much crime going on in Detroit. But when people come in Happy to be Nappy, you can feel a sense of, like, self-worth. You can see everybody in Happy to be Nappy, whether you're white, black, Puerto Rican. My assistant is Brazilian. So I'm, like, just really big on your natural self, your natural hair, your natural personality, your community. And that's kind of what I pride myself on when you enter the world of Happy to be Nappy.
And what does the community mean to you around here? Like, why Avenue of Fashion?
Okay. The Avenue of Fashion, to me, is because I've personally been here 20 years. I used to live...
At this location?
Yes, I've been at this location right here on the Avenue of Fashion for 20 years. I used to live around the corner in Sherwood Forest, and like I said, one of my companies that I developed as a young person was called Artrepreneur, the business of art. So I've always been a master artist, a painter, a singer, a dancer, all of that. So I used to... I saw this shop that was for rent 20 years ago, and I told a lady, you know, I think she said $650, and I said, I got it. So I ended up starting a small store, Happy to Be Nappy, and then I kind of blew up, and I ended up getting two stores combined into one. But at one point, the Avenue of Fashion was very vacant. No one was here. It was like ghost town. And I kind of feel that our environment here kind of helped pave the way, because we were always here, and like the Lions and the Pistons. I remember a time when all of the Detroit Lions would come here and the Pistons. So we started creating a little wave on the Avenue of Fashion. And then by my store being the African art and the incense and oils, you felt a little bit of safe. So we started reopening up the lights and the energy of Livernois with the mom and pop shops, like the barber shops next door and things like that. So to me, the Avenue of Fashion was like a rose growing through cement. You know, I saw the beauty in it in the beginning. I've always been a visionary. So I've been here ever since, and I haven't looked back. I feel safe on the Avenue of Fashion. When I look at all the communities I was raised in Detroit, because I used to move a lot, so I feel safe on the Avenue of Fashion. I feel it's a very diverse neighborhood. I feel like it's a mixture, like a mixing pot, like whether you got Palmer Woods, which I have clients over there. I've had doctors and lawyers come and sit in the same room with kids that's from Wyoming and Schaefer, all in the same environment. So we're like one big hub, whether it's the college over with the college U of D, then we got Mercy, and then we got the Bagley community. So it just was a good hub and pub of community. And community to me is, like I said again, the aunties, the uncles, like we forget about that, the we the people community, where your aunt used to say, don't do that. Now if something go wrong, you don't, nobody wants to say anything. In my shop, they say, don't talk politics, religion, and all that. We're going to talk about it. In this shop, you can come and talk about anything. We have gays here. We have stylists that are gay. We have whites. We have handicapped. We have rappers. We have kids on drugs. It doesn't matter. You will come in my shop with a cup of lean or something like that, and I'll be like, hey, what is that? You know, we'll talk it out. We're not going to evade what's going on in our community. So when you come to Happy to Be Nappy, it also reminds me of that's why I went to film school. It reminds me of Shop Talk or the Social Club in Wayne State. One of my documentaries I'm working on, like I've done over 30 celebrity athletes in my life, and I'm working on a documentary about the environment of a Shop Talk. Their documentary is Why Athletes Wear Dreads. That's the documentary. But I got it from when you come in this shop, we're going to talk about what's important right now on TV, whether it gets a little heated. I'm really good with kind of navigating, I wouldn't say the audience, but navigating our platform, our floor. At one point before the build, I can show you before and after, we had a wall going through the entire floor, and I was sitting on a stage because I always felt like we had a stage. So I was the one on the stage, and I would kind of moderate our floor, and we had talks of what's going on in our community. To me, the community means the hood. I don't want to be ghetto, but I mean, that's like a language that people understand. But that's what I mean, community. My father was a committeeman. He turned into an alderman. He had a personality of like a Coleman Young. He's from Detroit, but he's a senator that's retired. He's always been lived in his community, for his community, and by his community type of person. So he raised me like that. So I get a lot of that activism from him. When I first opened up Happy to Be Nappy, when I had a lot of energy, it would be things like on a Sunday, we would have Community Day. And what that would be is I would play a movie of the day, like Malcolm X or The Spook Who Sat by the Door. And we'd have fruits and vegetables. I'm a vegetarian, 20 years. So we kind of teach health. So people come in, some of the young girls say, oh, you look so young. It's how I eat. So that's a...
It's like 20 years vegan.
See? Me too. So like... that's about a part of like positive social imagery. You are what you eat. Your personality is what you eat. You know, you eat savage, you kind of behave savage. A lot of young ladies, they look up and they're like, oh, you look so, I'm about to be 47. You look young. Or how did you have five kids? And you're so, you know, vigorous and all that. And that's that conversation to change a person that's eating pork all their life or never was taught how to eat. So we have those conversations in here. I like those conversations. Those are the type of books we're going to bring back because I wasn't taught how to eat right. You know, we were taught how to eat wrong, and so that's all I saw. So just kind of like changing the way, and it doesn't just start with hair. Hair is just our little secret, but that's what I mean. It's the little things about Happy to Be Nappy. We're like changing people's lives day by day as best we can.
What was sort of like the turning point for you to kind of get into this business? Obviously, you talked about, you know, that you got into it at a very young age, but like, what was the driving factor to kind of make you keep on this route and not go the traditional, I guess, like college and everything like that?
Okay. I grew up like Joy Road and Grand River, and I always was a smart girl. So I was raised half Detroit, half Chicago from my dad. I did, like my dad was in gangs, and I had family members that was gangs, and they did not want the women in their family to go down that lifestyle. They didn't really want us dating drug dealers. They didn't want us, you know, going to the street life. So it was a time, I would say, when I was about 18 years old, my cousin was shot, and his name is Mario. So I had lost a couple family members, and my cousin was shot, and I told him that when I grew up, I was going to, you know, do it for the family, that I was going to make it to Hollywood, and I was going to hire them. I believed in hiring your family, hiring your community, giving people jobs, not giving somebody a fish, teaching people how to fish. So I was a street girl, kind of street, eating Whoppers every day and all of that. And then one day in Highland Park, I met this sister that had, it's a true story, so you're right, it's coming back to me. But I had a sister that had a store called The Stolen Legacy. And even though I was raised with an African name and African-centered, I just wasn't shown Africa. So The Stolen Legacy was the place that, like, the shrine of the Black Madonna. They had the African art, and she kind of did hair, and everything was safe and cultural. It wasn't the street life. It wasn't gangs and things like that. You come in, and it's like the poetry spot. It was in Highland Park. It was the place of the poetry and the we the people. And I was like, this is so cool. It made me feel safe. And I was like, I want that. So she told me she used to travel a lot to New York. And I was like, well, so one day I packed my kids up and we caught the bus to New York. And I started hanging out in Brooklyn and just kind of seeing the culture of just positive community. And I said, I want to take that back to my community. I want this. So it was a store called Nubian Heritage in New York. When you go in, you hear the music playing, nothing negative. You just hear good, cool vibe music, the incense. And I said, I want to take that back to Detroit. I want that for my hood. I want them to feel what I felt. So immediately, she changed my life. She was like, we're vegetarians. We don't eat like this. And she took me under her wing. And from that point, I just changed my life. I started reading books about who I was, you know, self-worth books, self-help books. I had self-esteem problems. I had all kinds of problems. You know, I have the average backstories of the average person in the hood. But when I, you know, found a community that was like-minded and was not like a shelter, but just a good, rewarding experience, they changed my life. So they changed me into cultural. I respected it. I saw that I can blow up or earn income, living a positive, productive life. A lot of people took notice of it, and I just started changing the community. And my revenues took, you know, the lead. And I took the money, like, again, and just kept reinvesting it. I moved my children out of the bad environments, and I saw the change in my children. I did. I saw my children growing into being positive, productive citizens, and that was my, you know, drive, my kids, and then other kids. And then when you start helping other people and you see you know, you're changing their lives, that just keeps them motivated. My staff, they keep me motivated because I know where they came from. And when I hire people or interview people, I always ask them, please don't, for my number one rule or my number one interviewing thing is just don't forget where you come from. Because when you start with me, you might be homeless or you might be fresh out of jail and you needed a place to have a job at because you're on a work release, and I trust you and I give you a whole career. You can start with me and instantly make $30,000 to $50,000 without a college degree. And I just say, don't forget where you come from. So also that, I did go to Columbia. I went to Whitney Young University, which is a magnet high school like Renaissance, but it was in Chicago. Then I went to Columbia University for journalism. And I started to see that entrepreneurship is a passion. And I could just tell, as a Piscean woman, I've always been passionate. But when young people come in here or people come around me, I let them know you can make the same as a doctor if you apply yourself. Everybody has a gift. A photographer has a gift. An actress has a gift. But it's what you do with your gift. I remember many a nights just up working towards this dream, working towards Happy to Be Nappy. Even when I went out, like when I go to New York, I would be that person in Times Square when laptops was a big deal. I have a short attention span, so I was that person at Times Square with the laptop in a bar working on a film or something like that. I did do a film short called Cracked Open. Cracked Open is about hidden mental disorders in the hood. It was about like the, because I see a lot of it around here and just in my neighborhood, it was about like mental disorders that go undetected. Because, you know, it's a stigma in the community for, now it's better with social media, but growing up when I was younger, it's a stigma about schizophrenia, sociopath, bipolarism, depression. So I wrote a short about like a celebrity woman, yada yada, with a, you know, family members going through stuff, even her hitting things like that. So I would write books and things like, well, not books, but work on short films in my free time while still running this business, because I always thought about my retirement years. When I'm not no longer able to do hair every day, what are my retirement years? And my retirement years is to tell the story through art. Hair is an art. All of this is an art. But just tell our stories. Be that person that can tell a story that's meaningful, that's going to change people's lives.
And since you've had this place for 20 years, is there, I mean, obviously you've met probably hundreds of people that you've hired here and, you know, but is there one person that really kind of like stands out that you are really proud to kind of bring under your wing and change her life or his life?
Wow. Actually, that can kind of make me emotional, because when you, like, once again, when I started the shop, my daughter, for instance, she's 30. She has her own dreadlock shop now called Game on Locks. But when I first started this salon, right, it was her. We were like the Pistons, the bad boys. I was the mom, and I had my daughter and her best friend and another young lady that was my niece and another young lady. I had five. We were like the Pistons, you know, the crew. So I would say 15 years ago, we had one of the baddest dreadlock team in the city. And those young ladies, over time, because of the beauty of them, because of the popularity of the dreadlock, at the time it was new, there was a lot of competition. There was a lot of people that maybe came through that kind of put the egos through the team and things like that. So to me, I'm proud of all four of them, because all four young ladies, it's not one, all four young ladies have went on to open up their own salons. And I know that they would have never done that if it wasn't for me, because, and I'll give knowledge to them, like one young lady, Destiny, she has Eccentric Styles by Destiny. She was just a young lady that was just hanging up under me at like 16 and can braid. And I'm like, you know what, you can braid. And she was just like, whatever, whatever. And she never saw herself being a business owner or a braider. She became to be a business owner in her. And then my daughter, she's done hair with me since 11. She took on the same routine as me, never worked for anybody in her life. And then a young lady, Melinda. She has a shop, I don't know her shop per se, but it's Melinda Denise. She's the one young lady that I look back, because she's came in my most later years, and she already, up front, she said, listen, I want my own like this. I want to work for you for a couple of years, but I admire you, but I'm going to get my own. And I respect that. I respected that. And I, you know, so her, I look back at, and then Tanisha. So when I look back and I see that there's women out there that saw my vision and created little mini happy to be nappies, but their own thing, that to me lets me know I've done my part.
And then how has Prosperous helped you?
Oh my goodness. Happy to be nappy. I would love to show you some before and afters. You wouldn't even imagine this place. When I started my shop, I was in Essence Magazine about people that went from nothing to something. But I didn't make the cut. I was in it, but they chose this woman that had a $1 million shop, which my shop is like a very booming shop. But they asked her, how did you start the shop? And she said, every person needs either a white friend or a rich friend. But I started my shop, and me and her were the top two in the article. I started my shop with a welfare check. So when I started Happy to be Nappy, the walls, the floors, the art, I did it with my bare hands, me and my friends. We did it with no loans. We've never had a loan in my life. So we didn't have loans. We didn't have funding. We just weren't that people. So we survived 20 years looking good, looking like that cultural store, hippie place. But Prosper Us gave us the funding and the opportunity to create this beautiful environment for the community as it looks right now. The customers are happy. We're not done yet, but we actually gutted this place out from the top to the bottom. I mean, I know how to minimize money, because I did a lot of everything with nothing. So I took what they had, and we created everything from the floors to the chandeliers to our new waiting area, lots of things, you know.
And what is the future for Happy to be Nappy here?
The future for Happy to be Nappy here, we want to open up a training center. We're working on downstairs just to train more, so a training center downstairs, and also to totally bring up back our eco-friendly gift shop. We're going to. We have the budget set aside. But we are definitely bringing back that little Borders, a miniature Borders Whole Food on the Avenue of Fashion, that place that you can come in and get some, like, a natural soap or a book or that incense, that candle. So we're actually just upgrading to a store, not just a salon. So, like, basically a self-healing center that's never going to go away. Even if I'm not here and I move out to another state or something like that, this is going to be the mini hub or even a franchise branch for that, because I feel like we can do this in any community, a place where you come and get your hair done, your natural self, and still get a good book, a good t-shirt with a positive saying, some oil, some candles, teach you how to meditate, all of that. Did I do good?